by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling.
Thank you, Craig. It's a very kind introduction. Thank you. So sorry you're hearing my voice in the morning. But thank you for reading along. I appreciate it. It is so good to be back here at Calvary Moton. I've always been welcomed warmly here. And beautiful music at both services. Always appreciate your praise band and a lovely sanctuary. So thank you very much. Love, love, love. I figured that would get your attention, right? That's what I want to talk about today. I was going to talk about tithing, but that's important. But I decided to talk about love. And then I was thinking, what else is going on right now that's important? Well, we have Super Bowl and we have Valentine's. So I could choose between football or love. Football, love. Love won. So that's what I'd like to talk about today. You know, God loves us, but how do we love God? How do we send God our Valentine? Well, right now everything's going to be Cupid and chocolate everywhere we look, and everybody's talking about love. But when I say the word love, what comes to your mind? Be careful, we're in church. But love, think about love. For some, it's a noun. It's something that, you know, exists. For some, it's a verb. It's something we choose to do. But, you know, it's hard enough to love somebody next to us. Like, how do we love God? You know, it's hard enough to love our spouse who's sitting right next to us on the sofa, watching our favorite TV show, asleep. Does that happen in your house, too? At West Lawn, our pastor of visitation, Terry Cooney, he calls that, when he falls asleep watching television, he calls it his pre-sleep. And then after the show's over, his wife wakes him up to go upstairs for his real sleep. That's starting to happen with me, too. So it's hard enough to love the person next to us that we can touch and poke. How do we love God who's spirit? And by the way, since we're talking about Valentines, I want you to know, if you didn't know already, there really was somebody named Valentine, who was reportedly a bishop of the church back in the 200s in the area that's now Italy. And apparently he was a bishop who supported Christian marriage. And the hedonistic emperor didn't like it and had him executed. So Saint Valentine was a martyr for Christianity and supporting love and marriage. I don't know how we got Cupid and chocolate out of all of that, but it really was a Valentine. So how do we love God? Well, the scripture today gives us some ideas. And this is a wonderful scripture. First of all, it starts out with the scribes disputing with one another. Can you imagine the leaders of the church disputing with one another? Does that still happen? But they were disputing, and Jesus saw that, and one of the scribes, I don't know if he really wanted to know if he had an inquiring mind or if he was just putting Jesus to the test. But he says, which is the first commandment of all? And then I was like this, Jesus answered. You know, when he answers, it's going to be a good answer. So Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You know, even today, some of our Jewish friends think we worship three gods, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. When really, it's one God, the unity of the Trinity. And then Jesus gives us a list. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that's really from Deuteronomy, from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. But then he adds this line. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he puts a little icing on the cake by saying, there's no other commandment greater than these. So, how do we love God? Well, Jesus had just given us five suggestions. A five-step, easy-to-follow plan. This is better than Nutrisystem. Five easy steps how to love God. First of all, he says, love God with all your heart. Now think about that. Who do we love with our heart? Our spouse, our family, our kids, our friends? Matter of fact, Craig mentioned a little bit up here earlier. We love our favorite teams and our sports. We love sometimes our hobbies and some of the things we have. We can love God with our heart too, with the same way, with passion, with love, because he loves us so much that he sent us Jesus to be our Lord. He also says we can love God with all our soul. That's a little harder one to figure out. Like, where is our soul? It's kind of all, you know, the heart's here and the mind's here. The soul's kind of woven into us. But we can love God with our soul by believing in Jesus, a spiritual matter. We believe Jesus is our Lord, that he came to earth, he died on the cross, he rose again, ascended to heaven to prepare a place for us to have eternal life. When we believe, we can love God with our soul. We can also love God with our mind. This one's a little tricky because I don't know what's on your mind right now, but I know some of the thoughts that get in my mind, and some of them scare me, let me tell you. You know, remember that old commercial that used to run that said a mind is a terrible thing to waste? I used to say, a mind's a terrible thing, period. Some of our thoughts can really be a challenge. As soon as we get up in the morning, we're just bombarded with messages. You ever notice that? There's commercials, there's ads, you see billboards. You know, maybe turn on the news at Channel 69. We try to, you know, be a good balanced newscast. We see what's going on in the world. People are trying to tell us to do things. There's messages on our phones. There's messages in entertainment and music and TV and movies. But aren't we each the gatekeeper of our own mind? I mean, some things are right there, but really we choose what we put in here, don't we? By what we look at, what we listen to. So we are the gatekeeper of our own mind. We can love God with our mind by controlling the thoughts that we have and what we let in and what we don't, and using our minds to serve him. Jesus also says we can love God with all our strength. I was thinking strength, I think people will work out. Anybody here like to work out? Okay, that's a few, that's good. I don't, no offense. But the only exercise I get these days is running to the bathroom. That's about it. Occasionally jumping to conclusions. That's the other one. But I probably should get some more real exercise. But, strength can be just the fact that you have strength to get up in the morning and you chose to come to church today. You used your strength to come to God's house to worship him on a cold morning with snow on the ground and a guest speaker yet. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for that sacrifice. We have strength to get up in the morning. We have strength to work. We can love God by the way we work, by doing excellence in our work to help other people and to honor God. We can use that strength in ministries. We know there's lots of ministries, lots of need, and lots of places to serve God and ways to serve him. So indeed, we can use our strength to love God too. Perhaps the most challenging of this five-step plan is when Jesus adds this line, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I don't know about you, but any of you have some neighbors who are not really lovable, or people you work with, people in your family, maybe your church, people you have to deal with? Not everybody's very lovable these days. Matter of fact, someone told me once, you don't have to like them, but you do have to love them. Jesus tells us that. I sound like an old-timer sometimes, but are people driving worse than ever these days? It's really an adventure just getting out on the bypass to go across town on any given day. I see so much aggressive driving. And sometimes, when you get cut off by somebody, maybe you want to offer them a gesture or react. But aren't we called to have grace with one another? Christian author Philip Yancey, he says Christians are dispensers of grace. Sometimes when these things happen, we have to just ka-ching, dispense more grace. I get cut off on the bypass, and I say, I choose to react with love and not give the gesture or yell, ka-ching, there goes more grace. I admit, sometimes I do blow the horn just to let him know I'm there. But yes, we are called upon to give grace to other people. Some of you heard Rick Warren. He's a pastor out in California. He's written some books. Rick Warren says, Jesus cuts us slack, so we have to cut others some slack too. So we can love God when we love our neighbors, even when it's hard to love them. There's lots of other ways we can love God. Send him a Valentine. We love him when we take time to pray, when we read the Bible and obey his word, when we come to church to worship, as you've done. You're already sending God a Valentine. You're here today for worship. When we have fellowship with other Christians and love our families. And how about this? When we witness, when we share God's good news with other people. And I'm so glad Sarah Jean agreed to come along today. SJ, she's a student at Albright College, and she sings. And I don't sing. You don't want me singing. Let me tell you that. So when we go out to places, as long as I speak and she sings, nobody gets hurt, But so we're SJ and Daddy-O, tag team for Jesus, and we enjoy serving together. And by the way, it was Andrew and Sean. They did a nice job, too. They're a good tag team. So we like to serve together. But Sarah Jean had an opportunity 2 years ago on Valentine's Day. She was up late with some of her fellow students at Albright College. It was early in the morning. Can you imagine college students staying up early in the morning? And two of fellow students wanted to know more about Jesus. So Sarah Jean prayed with two of her fellow students to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior early on that Valentine morning. And I always commend her for that, to care about other people enough to step out and say a prayer of salvation with somebody, invite them to know Jesus. That's a scary thing when you think about it. But what a wonderful way to love somebody, to care about their soul. What a wonderful way to love God. You know, when Jesus talked and prayed to his Father, and he, you know, God's called by many big names, you know, Yahweh, the ruler of the universe, the great I am, you know, the everlasting Father. Jesus called him Abba. And God loves us so much that he wants to call him Abba, which is the Hebrew for daddy. He wants us to be his children and love him like we love our daddy. We can love God that way. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. For God is love." That word is amazing. God is love. This is what he's made of. Maybe scientists are trying to figure out, is there some kind of great intergalactic cosmic plasma that God is made of? He's made of love. And when we love others, we touch God. We get to know him. This is certainly a time in the church for love. There's some issues that could divide us. And, you know, there's always that argument at dinner, are we going to have beef or chicken? What color are the curtains going to be? And now there's, you know, the way forward discussions. Let us remember that God still wants us to love each other, to have the unity of the Trinity, and to keep going as a church, because he knows that his love is needed out in the world, and he needs us to share that love. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God loves us so much that he gave his only Son to die for us and rise again to give us eternal life. That's love. That's love. And so is waking up your spouse on the sofa to go up to bed. So is hugging your kids when they're maybe teenagers and too cool for the parents. So is getting out of bed to come to church and worship God on a cold day when there's a guest speaker. So is giving no bad gesture to another driver on the bypass. So is praying for your loved ones, your pastor, and your church. We have so many ways to share love. So we can send God a Valentine, and we don't even have to go to Hallmark and buy a card. We can love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And yes, we can love our neighbors as ourselves. So my friends, I invite you and encourage you to keep the faith and stay the course. Keep sharing the love. And trust in God. And keep loving God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And look forward to that day when we can live with him in his glorious kingdom forever. And while we're still here, let's eat the chocolate. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love. Thank you for loving us so much. Abba, Father, we love you too. We thank you for sending Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Keep us close with you now and in your kingdom forever, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen.